Devon hurt his shoulder. We're still looking at it. I don't think I do not see him being available tomorrow for practice.
You've seen Kyle Orton a lot over the years. What do you think he's added to the Bills?
Kyle Orton, I think he's an excellent addition. He was 10 years in the league. I've always thought he's been very productive. We obviously played against him in Chicago, Denver, Kansas City. Played very well against us down in Kansas City down there in 2011. He has a complete understanding of the offense, can make all the throws. I mean, he can still sling it. I think he does a very good job with their offense.
He's actually one of the most experienced quarterbacks that we'll face this season, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's played a lot of football. I mean, he's been in a number of different systems, and he's a very good football player.
And Mike, to go back to Devon, he had that shoulder injury in San Diego a few years ago in the preseason. Is this a big concern for you shoulder-wise? Does he have anything with that?
I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do with any past injury, so we're still going through tests.
Mike, what kind of challenges does Sammy Watkins bring to your guys' defensive challenge going up
against him? Sammy Watkins, big athletic receiver. I think he's really made the adjustment to the NFL pretty seamlessly. So he'll be a big challenge. He can stretch it, and obviously he's a big target, has an excellent catching radius. So very good young player.
Mike, you've always said coaching is about demanding, and then it's always important to get what you emphasize. You guys have emphasized protecting the football really well here forever. How gratifying is it that it seems to really have taken hold this year, and how important is it for it to continue, especially against a team that's been so good against the team?
Well, the Buffalo Bills do a great job defensively in their coverage units. I think they're number two in the league in takeaways. It's important for us to take care of the ball every week, especially on the road. This is a tough environment we're going into play. We have three players on our team that played in Buffalo 8 years ago. So we got 19 players on our football team play against the Bills 4 years ago here at Lambeau. So this is a new experience for mostly everybody. I think it's important. It's a fast track. It's an old style stadium. It's a wild, electric atmosphere. So those are the kind of things we're focused on because, it's all part of the focus, all part of the concentration, and we got to take care of the football.
Do you have Alex kind of give the guys an idea of what kind of environment it is since you spent so much time here?
We talked about it a little bit today, and as we go forward, everybody shares the information that they have.
Like, how much does a loud crowd take away from what you can do on offense, or does it?
Well, a loud crowd, it challenges you. I think anytime you have communication challenges, you have to overcome them. Use different methods if you have to, whether it's verbal, nonverbal, and this will definitely be one of the louder places that we'll play this year.
Why has their defense been so good at keeping the passing game out of the end zone? I think they've only allowed 14 passing touchdowns.
Well, when you look at their defense, it clearly starts up front. They're able to get a lot of production off a four-man rush. So it's a very talented defense, all the way through. We've been impressed with the video. So they're playing very well.
You've got a great performance this year from a number of rookies in this year's roster. And we talk about this time of the year, if the players are hitting a wall physically. One of the players was saying to me, the warning is that there's so much game planning this part of the year. Don't forget your fundamentals. What do you have to do for those younger players to make sure that they're ready fundamentally for each game?
Well, you have your practice structure, and when you get to December, things adjust. We've had things in the past where, we went to a winter schedule. That's not as much the case this year, just because we're on a different format. So we've been investing throughout the year in making sure that our guys have the chance physically to play their best football. But with that being said, anytime you cut back practice, historically, one of the first periods you would cut out would be the individual where your fundamental drills occur. So we have not done that. So we continue to do our fundamentals each and every week. So that's how we go about it.
Is it like a taper down effect when you get toward the end of the season?
Well, yes, definitely. I think you have to be very conscientious of your workload in the fourth quarter of the season. We always have. the schedule this year kind of plays into that, coming off a Monday night game, short week. You know, the next week will be a normal week before Tampa, and then we have, you know, Christmas in the middle of the final week. So I think those components all kind of lead to, you know, kind of tapering down some. So we're very fortunate with our facilities to be able to do a lot of classroom, a lot of walkthroughs right here in the facility without going down to the Hudson Center. So that's a real benefit for us.
Mike, when you talked about hitting 10 wins, you know, talking about the playoffs and all that, you said something about you might have to revise it to 11 this year.
Sure, you might have to revise it to 11, maybe 12. I mean, this is I think everybody understands the state of the NFC. So just kind of confirms that you just need to keep your eye on a target. This is a very difficult place to play. This is a football team that's, I'm sure, approaching this game like a playoff game. They need it. We need it. And that's really our mindset. So I think it just gives you a chance to confirm, to tighten down your focus. And we definitely need to get to 11 wins.
Mike, were you optimistic with what you saw from Eddie today at practice?
Yeah, I mean, Eddie was good spirits. So, you know, we'll see how he feels tomorrow. See what he can do tomorrow.
I know Sam's played for you here and there throughout the season, but what have you thought of his 2 weeks in more of a prominent role?
Who's that?
Sam Barrington.
Sam's doing well. I mean, he's earned these opportunities. You know, last week, he was the game ball winner. You know, he did some things this week, so he's getting better. You know, we'll continue to, once again, try to play as many of those guys as we possibly can. But Sam's doing some good things.
Mike, your secondary's been an area of strength for you the whole season. Do you look at the second half on Monday night as an anomaly, or was it just something more than that?
You know, second half, I thought we started the game just the way you like. I think anytime you come off of a big win, you concern yourself with a potential letdown. I thought the preparation really showed up there in the beginning of the game. We didn't sustain it in the second half. We've had a chance to look at it and learn from it. So, and we'll apply it to the future.
Mike, you used your running backs a couple different ways this year, where you've gone with 1-2, or you've just gone with Eddie as the primary guy. Is that game plan specific, or are you riding the hot hand at that particular time?
It's a couple different variables. You know, there's, you know, every week when we go through the game plan, you know, when we're in the meetings, you know, I'll express to Tom and Sam Gash exactly how I visualize the, you know, the attempts or the opportunities to lay out, and then the flow of the game is another variable that factors into that. So based on what they do is another variable. So it's never, you know, written down in stone exactly how we're going to do it.
When you hear about a game like the second half on Monday, is there any thought or feeling that maybe you need to not play as many guys sometimes because of the continuities? You're bringing a guy in, just for example, Brad Jones, who hasn't played all that much in the middle. So do you lose continuity when you do that?
No, I don't think so. I think you're searching. You know, Brad has played a lot of football for us in the middle. And I understand what happened in the second half. I will never apologize for a victory in December, regardless of what it looks like. So it's a great opportunity for us to learn from. Some of the best lessons you learn in this game are when things don't go right. So we'll be a better team because of it.
Two more.
Mike, how much of your success this season is a byproduct of the quote-unquote winning culture that you guys are given credit for? And if that's a real effect, what's the key to developing that?
Well, I think that's a forever, you know, a question that needs a very long answer that I'm not going to give. It's you got to build it, you got to maintain it, you got to find continual ways to grow it, and it's about people. And this game will always be about the people. And we're fortunate, you know, right now we do have a good culture, and it's a really, you know, a product of our players and the way they've invested into the program. This particular group is very consistent. They answer the bell on everything as far as what they're asked to do. So with that, you definitely have a chance to win each and every week.
Is there a difference between being able to analyze talent and having an intuition about who can win and who can't, that kind of thing? Identifying an intangible?
Well, I think it's definitely a part of it in the evaluation process. I mean, you evaluate players that you know, you want to bring into your program. I know the final question that's always asked when we bring a player in is, you know, how will he fit in the locker room? That's always the final hurdle. So with that, you know, everybody's built differently, wired differently, and, you know, some people need more development than others. So it's and that's all part of the evaluation process. Then once they get here, you develop them. So, I mean, that's kind of been our approach.
Mike, it's been a while since we've agitated you as much as we have with our second half questions yesterday and today. I think the expectation level on your team, the way it's played the last 10 weeks is part of that, and the way it played in the second half was not what anyone was expecting. So you said that there's lessons to it. What lessons are you taking going forward? Let's not talk about what happened in the second half. Let's talk about how you're using it. What are you doing with it?
It's a game of football. I mean, I think, you know, you talk about communication. So was there areas that we can do a better job in communication? We have a game management report that's done in each and every single game. So, and it's not always positive, even when you win by a lot of points. So we don't evaluate the game based on the final score. We don't evaluate the game based on what our statistics are. So there's always things to learn from. So then from that, you have the schematic. You know, how did you line up and address, you know, their strengths? Then, and obviously there's the fundamentals and techniques and, you know, the opportunities for turnovers and opportunity for touchdowns. Big play production, we went into the game and clearly stated that the big play production and turnover ratio will win this game, and that held true. We took care of the ball. We were plus one. I don't know exactly sure how the big plays sorted out. I know we were way ahead of them at halftime. I know we had an exceptional number of broken tackles, tackles that we had broken in the first half, but, you know, it was not clean in the second half. But at the end of the day, good teams find ways to win, and the offense picked up for the defense.